are concluding my sermon series entitled, What If? Faith Beyond the Training Wheels. Today we're finishing that up. I want to begin, though, with a reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Hear now these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. If the word God, I'm sorry, that is the finish of that reading. I had cut and pasted something else in that I was about to read from Bishop Spa. Those are the words from our scripture reading today. We will revisit those. So if I confused you any, we'll mention those again. But I do also want to read from a post that Bishop Spa, this whole series has been based on his writings. This is from a piece that he wrote for ProgressiveChristianity.org entitled Bishop Spong on God. He had to say this: if the word God, that's where I had started, if the word God can be identified with the source of love, the word God can be identified with the source of love that flows through the universe, then the only way we can worship that which we call God is by loving wastefully. The more we can give love away, the more that which is ultimate, real, and holy will be visible in us. Now, if the word God can be understood as the ground of being, then the only way we can worship that which we call God is by finding the courage to be all that each of us can be, and by encouraging others to be all that they can be. True religion, he says, is nothing more or less than a call to live fully, to love wastefully, and to be all that we can be. All else, he says, is simply background music. I hope that these words remind us that God is not confined to temples or sanctuaries or stained glass. God is present wherever people live fully. Love wastefully and embody courage. And that's what we seek as we step into a new chapter of our church together. And it's what our scripture in Acts 2 also shows us, a community breaking bread, sharing life, and becoming a sacred community in living rooms and in homes.
Thank you.
As I said, we are concluding the series, sermon series, What If Faith Beyond the Training Wheels. Today, we are talking about the church and the feeling that it's dying. The title of my message is, What If Christianity Isn't Dying, It's Rethinking Church. So, we sold the building. We sold the building. Honestly, that... feels a little weird to say out loud, it does, but maybe what's even wilder than that is this little reminder. Church never was the building, though. It never was. The church has always been the people rising up wherever love gathers us and starting in the new year, we'll all be gathering in a new kind of sacred space, a house, a one house dedicated to this community. We're not going back to the church basements of our childhood. We're not simply downsizing out of desperation. We're stepping into something, well, frankly, something that's sort of ancient, something that the earliest Christians knew by heart. Church in a home. Church where bread is broken and stories are shared and prayers are offered and love gets real. And it seems to me that it is fitting that we're beginning to talk about it a little more in depth here on World Communion Sunday. Because this meal was never about altars or golden chalices. It was from the very start bread in someone's hand and wine poured out at someone's table, portable, intimate, ordinary. But sacred. So today's scripture from the book of Acts tells it like this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All who believed were together and had all things in common. And day by day they spent much time together in the temple, but they also broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. See, from the beginning, this was not about polished cathedrals. It was about homes, open, tables stretched out, bread shared together. But somewhere along the way, the church, with the capital C church, the church started confusing itself with its buildings. We started measuring faith by square footage and by stained glass and by capital campaigns. We told ourselves, if the building is strong, then our faith must be strong. But what if the truth is, when your faith is strong, you don't need the building at all? Monumental church, or the church building as a monument, monumental church, can be a beautiful thing, so don't get me wrong. But it also can be a bit of a trap. It can make us think that worship only occurs or only counts if it happens under a steeple. It can even make us mistake preservation for proclamation. It can make gatekeepers of sacred space rather than carriers of sacred life. When we cling too tightly to the monument, here's what we lose. We lose intimacy. In big sanctuaries, it's easy to stay anonymous. In a living room, you are known. We lose flexibility. Marble and stained glass can't pivot real quickly, but a house can. Honestly, we lose a bit of honesty. Church in pews sometimes makes us perform a bit. Church in circles invite us to tell the truth to each other. We lose welcome. For a lot of people, church buildings only carry memories of exclusion. But a house can feel like the first space they've ever been fully embraced in. So, what if this shift, selling a building, moving into a house, isn't a loss at all? What if it's resurrection? The kind we talked about last week. The kind that says love refuses to die. What if the Spirit, the universe, is saying to us, stop clinging to walls, start opening doors. Here's what I do. I know a house made sacred doesn't just look like a smaller church. It looks like church the way the church started. Circles of chairs, not rows of pews. Shared meals, sometimes delivered with the sermon. Shared stories that are shared more readily. scared people finding a safe place to heal. Every voice mattering, not just the preachers. It may even mean front porch concerts and pop-up markets in the side yard. You know, scholars of house church movements point out a few things for thriving gatherings in house churches. Keep it simple, keep it participatory, and keep it hospitable. That's what makes a difference. Not the square footage, but the spirit inside the space. And our new house would be just that, a room set aside as sacred community space. One address where love will be known, not because of the cross on the outside of it, but because of the compassion at the tables inside of it. For queer folks who've been told there's no place for you in a church, the new chapter sings a different song, because a house can hold what a cathedral sometimes cannot. Vulnerability, laughter, authenticity, scars, joy. For folks who have been excluded by race, class, ability, gender, this house says the door is open. The table is always wide. House church isn't smaller church. It's resistant church. It resists empire's obsession with size and spectacle and control. It says the kingdom of love isn't measured in numbers, but in neighbors. And on World Communion Sunday, this gospel truth, the body of Christ is never confined by walls. It's wherever bread is broken and love is embodied. So here's the call for all of us. When we step into that house, we step in as a family. When we take seats in that living room, we sit as equals. When we pass the bread, we pass belonging with it. When we pour the cup, we pour courage with it. Bring your doubts, bring your scars, bring your laughter, bring your lament. Bring the neighbor you just met. Bring the questions that you've been afraid to ask. Because in our new house, all of that is welcome. And let's be clear, this isn't us shrinking back. This is us leaning forward. Standing on what we've always been and using that, who we are, what we have been, using it to inspire new ways of being community together. This is not retreat. This is return. Return to the roots of a movement that started not in temples, but around tables. Not with pulpits, but with people in homes. Friends, while the house won't be ready until the new year, this table is already set. And today, we join not just our little circle, but a worldwide feast. On porches in Latin America, in kitchens in Asia, in storefronts in Africa, in sanctuaries in Europe, in prisons, in shelters, in secret gatherings, in open celebrations. Today, the body of Christ breaks bread as one around the world. The meal itself, though, is portable. The meal is stubborn. The meal rises again and again. This is resurrection. This is communion. This reminds us that love never stays down. And so now, as we move directly into the invitation to the table, hear these words. This is not our table. It's a table for everyone. So come not because you have the right words, but because you hunger for love. Come not because you've checked all the right boxes, but because you long to be fed. Come not because you're perfect, but because you are beloved. Here in this bread and this cup, we taste the promise. Love refuses to die. Church refuses to die. Hope refuses to die. Welcome to this table. Jesus, on the night that he was arrested, gathered with the disciples in an upper room for a meal, and after giving thanks, he blessed the bread and he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." And in like manner, after they had dined, he took the cup and he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you. And each time you eat this bread and you drink this wine, you proclaim the kingdom of love that we are called to create here on earth, day after day, again and again. All are welcome to this table. Please come forward as you are ready."
Thank you.
basically this tape will be refined as it stands in the daily mail. I continue to be with this department. Knowing your power is capable. Let us pray. In bread broken, in cup shared, we have remembered what cannot be buried. Love that rises. Love that resists. Love that refuses to die. At this table, we tasted belonging. At this table, we remembered that our scars do not disqualify us. They witness to the truth that resurrection is real. At this table, we glimpse the wide communion. Neighbors across the street, strangers across the world, all bound by bread, all held in love. May what we have received here become courage in our living. May it make our kitchens sacred, our conversations holy ground, and our homes places of healing, our hands agents of justice. The table is finished, but the feast is not. The meal goes with us, and love rises still. Amen. Sing this blessing may you. Walk with each other in creation, recognizing that we are one. May you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
I'm Luther, man. This is from the film. Thank you.